Welcome to Wrestling with Theology. My name is Doug Minton. I am your host. I am the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, as well as a lifelong wrestling fan. Wrestling with Theology wrestles with the history of pro wrestling as well as the theology of the Lutheran Church. This week's wrestling profile is Rick Rude, the sixth of the Robbinsdale Seven. Rude was a 1976 graduate of Robbinsdale High School. Went on to Anoka Ramsey Community College to receive a degree in physical education. Physical fitness was definitely one of Rude's focal points in life. His physique is what made his gimmick as Ravishing Rick Rude so easy to pull off. Rude began wrestling in 1982 with Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. In his early years, he was quite the journeyman wrestler. He also had stints in Vancouver, Georgia, Memphis, and Dallas until he landed in Florida. In 1985, Rude went back to Dallas to wrestle for Fritz Von Erich, feuding against Kevin Von Erich and Chris Adams. He held the American heavyweight title when Fritz withdrew from the NWA and changed the name of the title to the world-class world heavyweight title. Interestingly enough, he had a brief tag team and then feud with the Dingo Warrior while in Dallas. The Dingo Warrior would become the Ultimate Warrior in WWF, and they had a feud there as well, but matches between these two early in their career would be great to see. In September 86, Rude returned to Jim Crockett Promotions and successfully teamed with Manny Fernandez. Rude jumped ship to the WWF during their world title reign. In July 87, Rude made the jump that catapulted him to superstardom. He joined Bobby Heenan's family in the WWF and quickly made his mark as the Ravishing One. Early on in WWF, he feuded with Jake the Snake Roberts over Rude's fascination with Roberts' then-wife Cheryl. After the feud with Roberts ended, he went on to rekindle the feud with the Ultimate Warrior at Royal Rumble in 1989. This feud went through Warrior's time as Intercontinental Champion and ended after a steel cage match for the World Heavyweight title at SummerSlam 1990. Shortly afterward, Rude left WWF because of a dispute with Vince. After a year on the independent circuit, Rude reemerged in WCW as part of Paulie Dangerously's Dangerous Alliance, a feud with Sting over the United States heavyweight title. In 93, Rude defeated Flair for the WCW International World Heavyweight title. He won that title three times. It was during a title defense against Sting where he injured his back and was forced to retire. He came back into wrestling in early 97 as a masked wrestler in ECW that harassed Shane Douglas. On August 11, 1997, Rude was one of the founding members of D-Generation X with Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and China. 3 months later, he left the WWF because of the Montreal Screwjob and went back to WCW. On November 17, 1997, Rude became the only person before the day wrestling died to appear on Raw and Nitro on the same night. While in WCW, he worked mainly as Curt Hennig's manager and as a member of the NWO. When the NWO split, Rude and Hennig went with the Wolfpack, but they were booted out because Rude and Hennig are, by nature, heels. The Wolfpack were fan favorites. It did not mesh. In late 98, Rude and Hennig were taken off of WCW television due to injuries. Rude officially retired in 1999. A month later, he died due to an accidental overdose of mixed medications due to heart problems. It was rumored that he was working on a return to the ring at that time. In 2017, Rude was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame by Ricky Steamboat. Throughout his career, Rude had a great run with titles. He held the Florida version of the Southern Heavyweight title twice, the Memphis version of the Southern Heavyweight title once, the Memphis version of the Southern Tag Team titles with King Kong Bundy once, the WCW World Heavyweight title three times, the WCW US title once, the NWA World Tag Team titles once, the NWA American World Class World Heavyweight title once, and the Intercontinental title once. Among all his accolades over his career, Rude is ranked number 57 on PWI's top 500 of the PWI years in 2003. He was PWI's most hated wrestler in 1992, where he was ranked number 4 that year. Wrestling Observer Newsletter rated him as the best heel in 1992, while also being part of the worst worked match of the year with Masahiro Chono at Halloween Havoc. Rude was one of the great workhorses and personalities of 80s and 90s wrestling. His natural physique gained from a career in arm wrestling made him a natural heel. While his Rude Awakening finishing move wasn't the most devastating, many wrestlers have noted over the years that it was the worst to take because Rude would gyrate and grind for the fans before dropping you. That was what made him the Ravishing One. I'll be back in a moment with the Confessional Corner. This month's Confessional Corner will begin a series on the Apostles' Creed, beginning with the first article on God the Father. Each month we'll go through not only the words of the Creed, but also where these words come from in the Bible. But first, the Apostles' Creed is the oldest Christian confession regularly used in church. It began as a baptismal creed in Rome in the 2nd century. It is the basic testimony of the Christian faith. Everything necessary to know for salvation is in this creed. As we look at the first article this month, it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Where can we find the words, I believe? How does this help us understand our faith? Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Romans 4:5. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. The word creed comes from the Latin credo, meaning I believe. Every creed is a statement of faith. The Apostles' Creed illustrates the basis for the Christian faith as taught by the apostles. Faith is necessary for righteousness. The prophet Habakkuk says this very clearly. The righteous shall live by his faith. St. Paul picks it up in his epistle to Rome. Here he declares that works do not count us as righteous. Faith counts us as righteous. We can do all kinds of good works in the eyes of society, but they have no standing before God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. As St. Paul talks about Abraham in Romans 4, he praises Abraham's faith. He goes on to point out that this faith was present even before he was circumcised. He had done no works to claim God's favor. He simply believed the word that was revealed to him. It is the same with us. We simply believe in Christ, and we are counted as righteous in God's sight. Who is the God in whom we believe? Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. There is only one God. In the Nicene Creed, we confess this verbally. The great schema of the Torah and St. Paul's words to the Corinthians speak of the one God being the Father. The Old Testament does not typically refer to God as Father, but the divine name Yahweh, Lord, has a similar meaning. God created the heavens and the earth. Therefore, everything that exists has its existence from Him. St. Paul's distinction between the Father and Jesus is wonderful, yet subtle. God the Father is the source from which everything springs. Jesus is the one through whom we have our existence. God created us through Christ. We think of this initially for our recreation and baptism, but it is through Christ as God's incarnate Word that all things were created in the beginning. Why is God the Father? Psalm 89:27, "And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." Matthew 7:11, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" The Old Testament typically doesn't refer to God as Father. However, it often refers to the Messiah as the firstborn. God commanded that all the firstborn be consecrated to his service. Later, this service was restricted to the Levites. Israel was chosen as God's firstborn. As a father, God knows what is necessary for his children and their good. Jesus asks earthly fathers around him to see how paltry their gifts are compared to what God gives. Earthly fathers give gifts that are tainted with sin. God gives good and perfect gifts. God has given us the excellent gift of salvation. For this, we give him thanks and praise. For this, we gladly call him our Father in prayer. What does it mean for God to be almighty? Genesis 17:1. "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless.'" 2 Corinthians 6:18, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." God is first called God Almighty when he gives Abram the covenantal sign of circumcision. Almighty means to have all power. God commands Abram to walk before him blamelessly. God is about to do his great work in giving Abram and Sarai a son in their extreme old age. God's almighty power is manifest as he opens the barren womb of a 90-year-old woman to give birth for the first time. St. Paul discusses God's almighty power through his ability to become the father of all who believe in his son Jesus Christ. "The greatest demonstration of his almighty power for you came when he washed your sins away in the waters of baptism. He became your father. You became his son or daughter. You were taken from being a child of wrath to being his workmanship to do good works." Why do we say God is the maker of heaven and earth? Psalm 33:6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host." John 5:17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I am working.'" What work does God the Father Almighty do? He creates. Luther speaks on this at length in his understanding of the first article of the Creed in the Large Catechism. In fact, maker is the word he uses to summarize the entire first article. But does God still create today? Absolutely. Children are still conceived in their mother's wombs daily. There is no telling what other great wonders we will discover in the future that God has only created today. But God does more than create. He preserves his creation. He keeps the earth rotating so that one side doesn't stay in the dark forever. He keeps our feet on the ground. He gives us the ability and the knowledge to fight the illnesses and diseases that sin brings into our lives. The Creator is also the preserver. He cares for all his creatures, both the great and the small. This has been a look at the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Next month in the Confessional Corner, we'll cover Jesus' state of humiliation in the second article. Thank you for your time and listening to this podcast. If you'd like to hear more, go back to our archives to hear the previous episodes of Wrestling with Theology. Also hear Sunday morning sermons from Redeemer. If you are in the Twin Cities area on Sunday morning, you are welcome to join us at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church at 4201 Regent Avenue North in Robbinsdale, just off of the corner of 42nd Avenue and Highway 100. Just look for Jesus blessing the travelers along the road. Our services are at 9 a.m. We have Bible study at 10:30 following the service, with coffee hour in between. We encourage you, anytime you are in the area, to join us for worship and to wrestle with theology.